Earlier this week, when it was a little warmer outside, I went to put something new on our church sign out there. I know I have not been vigilant in adding to it, but I decided to put something up, and so I had the letters all chosen out, and I took the special tool that you need to get in it, and I went out there and was all ready with this special tool to open the sign, only to discover that someone had replaced the screws, and the special tool I had did not work. I had to go in and get a regular screwdriver. Well, you can imagine walking back, I was just... until I realized the words that I was going to put up there. Did anybody see them? Prepare the way in you for Christ to come. Ouch. Just as a side note, we at this time of year get into a lot of battles over putting Christ back in Christmas, as if he ever left. Reclaiming territory that we believe is ours. Insisting that people say Merry Christmas instead of Happy Holidays. The problem is, preparing the way in the wilderness is not the way in everybody else. It's the way in you, right? We have this irascible character that we heard this morning basically yelling at us, right? John is not exactly a comfortable character to live with. Not then, not now. He was one who, the Bible says, came to prepare the way. And he's not a soft and cuddly preparer. In fact, you might say that John's view of things was that the world basically had gone to hell. Okay, can I use that word? And that the only thing that could make things right was for God to come and just wipe away the old and bring in the new. He was expecting God to just completely upend things, perhaps even in a very violent way. That was John's message as he called people to repent, to turn toward God. And there were people who were coming to him. I mean, they were used to this whole idea of seeking purity. You know, in preparing for this sermon, you know, I became better acquainted with a practice among our Jewish friends today, even, that I wasn't fully aware of. That there are like things similar to our baptismal in a lot of locations in Jewish communities. Were you familiar with that? There are places where people go to cleanse themselves after times of disruption, after times of in some senses, you know, for women, times of cleansing after times of cleansing, if you know what I mean. Yes. But even men, I mean, and this was a practice not just today. It was a practice back in biblical times, and it had its roots in the Torah for people going and being cleansed. And so people were familiar with this concept as John was crying out in the wilderness. But John was not an inside character calling for people just to wash yourselves up. John was one with a really abrasive kind of soap on God's part. Expecting, if you will, the whole world to be turned upside down. When I was in college, yeah, long time ago, I, like many young men in college, thought I knew everything. And I remember my discussions with my father, my creative discussions. My mother called them arguments. And I'm sure I've shared this story before, but we disagreed about a number of things. I was a radical pacifist. And yet, as a radical pacifist, at that point, looking at what was happening in South Africa, when apartheid was just, you know, at its height, and there was a lot of conflict, this radical pacifist couldn't see any other outcome than just total race war in the southern part of that continent. And my dad, who had been through a world war and some other things, my dad in his wisdom said, well, you never know. Guess who turned out to be right? Something significant happened in this week, didn't it? Nelson Mandela died. And as we think of the life of this man, I think we need to not put him up on some pedestal as a perfect person, because he wasn't. But we also need to realize a couple things about this person. And how in his younger years, he first started out as a pacifist. Did you know that Nelson Mandela was a Methodist Christian? And he was a pacifist until it reached a point in the struggle against apartheid in South Africa, that there was a massacre that happened, and that turned him. Saying there is, I mean, he turned in the direction of saying he couldn't see any other possibility for change. And he helped develop the radical wing, an armed wing of the African National Congress. And as such, as a proponent of it, he was eventually arrested and put on trial and put into prison for life. We know that much about his story. But something happened in prison, and we have stories of prison. I don't really want to get into this, but when he was released back in the early 90s, something amazing happened, didn't it? Something amazing happened in that country, where this man of war who could not see any possibility other than a war to change things became a transformative agent for change for God in his country. Here was a John the Baptist figure, if you will, being transformed, preparing the way for something different to happen. And we have all sorts of stories of how that happened. But still, I stand marveling at how it all transpired. To this day, I don't fully grasp it. I just know that God did something different. Now back to John the Baptist. John the Baptist, I titled my sermon because I read this somewhere. John the Baptist was a call to worship in the flesh, which is an appropriate way of seeing him. You know, this man who himself, it is never recorded that John the Baptist became a follower of Jesus. He remained till his death simply a preparer. And there are a lot of people out there in this world. I mean, we sometimes think that things have to happen in a certain way for change to happen. Well, here was an example of an outsider, somebody totally outside our system, being used by God for change. As the New Testament seeks to make sense of John the Baptist, because in the early church there was, as we see it, a division between the followers of John and the followers of Jesus. And there needed to be some way of drawing that. We do know from the scriptures that some of John's followers became followers, became disciples of Jesus. But the two, John and Jesus, had different understandings of what I would call eschatology, of apocalypse, how God is going to bring about change in this world. You know, for John, you know, God is going to be a radical upheaval. Well, Jesus is no less radical, but he sort of had a different way. A different way that we see only two chapters later in Matthew's gospel, in fact, where we have this change agent, Jesus, God's Savior, God's Son, speaking out about blessing and peacemaking and mercy in addition to justice. As a call to worship, John opens us up very, in some ways, violently. We hear his voice almost as a yell. And sometimes that's what we need to get our ears opened, because our minds can be so closed to the possibilities of God that we just are deaf. And it needs a loud voice to speak out and open up. And that's what a call to worship does. In our when we gather together, we sometimes enter in like good brethren, just very softly and tenderly, when sometimes we need to be pulled kicking and screaming into the presence of God. It is a radical disruption to be in the presence of the Almighty. And he was a call to worship in the flesh, not just a bunch of words. Would that we would have call to worships in the flesh among us today, and I think we still have them. They are called Nelson Mandelas. They are called by other names in this world. Perhaps you can think of some. Call to worships in the flesh. But on this day when we begin our worship really with a hymn talking about another kind of in the fleshness, an Emmanuel, God with us, we pay attention to change that happens in our flesh and bones, in our very being, through the presence of one who does not leave us, one who is constantly within and around us, one for whom we need to kind of prepare a way on a regular basis. And Advent is a time of preparation, preparing ourselves year after year. It's not something that should happen daily, really, but preparing ourselves for the coming of Christ. As Christ comes to us each and every day of our lives. And sometimes that's a radical upheaval. Sometimes that's in a very still, small voice, but it is no less changing our world. Got the sign out on the sign. I mean, the words out on the sign. What are you going to do with it this week? What are you going to do? When you leave this place, of course, you're going to be careful. You're not going to be putting your foot on the accelerator and going very fast down the road, or your foot on the brake going very fast. This is a time for carefulness. But there are times for acceleration and braking. There are times for turning. May you turn well during this season as you turn toward God. And perhaps, just perhaps, maybe you, because you have come out today, you have risked, take some risks. Maybe you can become a bit of a call to worship in the flesh right where you are. Not that you have to speak such fiery words, but maybe it's through your very presence in the lives around you. But to say the least, in order to get there, you need to prepare the way in you for Jesus to come.